Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You are now listening to TDL on silverandblackpride.com.
Everybody, we are back. It is a, you know, your initial reaction. Preseason week three wasn't a lot of action. 34-10 beatdown from the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, no. But we're back, guys. You know, it's Tape Don't Lie. You know, it's a Tape Don't Lie show. So make sure you guys, hit the subscribe button on iTunes. Make sure you hit the download button on Spotify, you know, wherever you find this, you know, silverandblackpride.com. So, you know, we appreciate all the listeners there. And of course, you know, if you see this on YouTube or you find this on YouTube, go ahead and put this subscribe. Right. So, hit the like button. Hit the dislike button, leave a comment. I mean, we've been getting some crazy comments lately, but we appreciate all engagements. You know, we appreciate all engagements. And also, copy a shirt. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and copy a shirt. We've seen all the shirts out there. We really appreciate you guys, supporting us and getting the shirts. So we really appreciate that love. And then also, you know, go ahead and go to Manscaped. You know what I'm saying? And get you some TDL. You know, discount code 20% off.
So the promo code, yeah. Have you tried the Manscaped stuff
yet? I have tried it. It's a great product, bro. It really
yeah.
is. No lies. This is not a fake ad, guys. This is a great product. It really does. It's pretty revolutionary, to be honest. But
okay, wow. All right.
It's a great product, man. I'm telling you guys. Go ahead and use discount code TDL Manscaped. Go ahead and check that out. You know, support. And, we'll get you some more stuff, you know, support the original, you know, discount code. We'll get you some more stuff later. So go ahead and support that. We only need 8 people to get it. So, you know, everybody go ahead and go out there and, you know, go on TDL and get that going. So BD.
Yes, sir.
I forgot the Twitter handles. My bad. At the Mark John NFL. That's me. At BD Williams 18. BD, how you feeling after preseason week three? We're about to get the real football.
Yeah, I had fun actually watching that game. Yeah. Honestly, here's the cool part about it. Okay, there's a couple guys on both sides of the ball. I would say more on defense.
Yeah.
Okay, who are going to make the team, and they played. Okay, in this game, mm-hmm. You look at Malcolm Kuntz. You look at Divine Diablo.
Yeah.
Okay. These guys played the entire game. You know, Malcolm Kuntz has a lot of reps in preseason. Say he played 50 snaps on defense, 60 snaps on defense. Say Devon Diablo played 50, 60 snaps on defense. They might not have 50, 60 snaps for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Being,
you know, a backup, you know, unless there's like some major injury in front of them. Okay. So that's why I really loved it. These guys are seeing, and they're seeing some fun, like, you know, some good scheme.
Yeah.
Gruden said they were not prepared for the zone read stuff. And the funny part about it is, now you correct me because you've been watching Trey Lance. But I've seen it on Twitter, all these beat reporters have been keep on asking Shanahan, why aren't you running with Trey Lance? Why aren't you running? And then they came out with like the little quarterback run package for Trey Lance. So they caught the Raiders off guard. They were not prepared for that. And it showed, you know, I can just jump into defense versus if that's okay with you.
Go ahead, Doc. Go ahead.
Defense, what came down to it was the defensive ends not having any idea how to play the run that they were seeing. And they were seeing a lot of volume in terms of the different plays, different actions. If they were getting blocked down and kicked out, if they were just getting base blocked, okay, if they were getting trying to get reached on the edge, if they were being unblocked and just read as a, you know, like they were seeing the everything. And Malcolm Kuntz Like, he's, look, at this point, it's safe to say he's not viable against the run. No disrespect to the young man. He's going to make the team as a situational pass rusher. But yeah, when they ran to his side, they were getting in everything that they wanted. Like, he's not making any plays. He's not detaching. It'll come. Like, he'll be able to clean that up eventually, you know, but like right now, that's not his forte. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And Jerry Green was also looking pretty lost at times. I think he's probably stronger physically than Malcolm Kuntz, but he's been blowing it the entire preseason. So Jerry Green's not making the team.
Yeah. No, he's not.
Definitely not. But, you know, obviously he's playing his butt off, you know, putting his heart and soul out there. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to, you know, make some progress. And we just didn't see any progress from Jerry Green. So more power to him, but probably not going to make the team. And then so, like, really, the defensive ends had a serious, serious tough time. And then you also see, like, look, we got Divine Diablo, Max Richardson out there, right? Like, at best, reserves. Max Richardson probably going to be a practice squad guy if he even makes the final roster at all, if he's even kept around. You know, Divine Diablo, he's going to make it. Jevon White got out. Divine Diablo, like, you know, I'm going to have to go back and really, 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 like, watch it. I just didn't – he was just, like, out there. I didn't really see too much crazy – you know, things from him. But yeah, but that's why I put out a tweet earlier. I was saying that this is a great game for the Raiders. They're seeing a bunch of exotic stuff. Now they got the film on it. Now they can just, now Gus Bradley can sit there in meetings and be like, okay, this is how we play it. This is what happens when we don't do this. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that's good for that reason. It's getting some young guys who might not ever get a chance to see the field on defense again until, like, next year, next preseason, valuable reps where they can, like, log those things away in their mental process. So I do think it was a good game for the Raiders.
Yeah. I thought Diablo made a good play in the red zone at the goal line. I thought he did a good job in zone, which you'll probably see on all 22. I think you'll like that play. I think he made a tackle. He read it correctly, and he had a good break on it. It kind of showed everything he showed in college in coverage. I thought that was a good play. That play stood out to me. You probably see that on all 22. You know, one thing I'll say defensively, you know, Jerry McCoy looked like, you know, he's going to be
Come on. We're talking about Jerry McCoy going up against, like, you know, second and third string. Like, of course. Jerry McCoy's making the team. He just needed to get some rust off his belt. Yeah, you know, like, he's good.
Like, he looked pretty.
That was not fair. Yeah, we'll talk about something like the strategy of who they were playing and why they were doing this, you know, later on. Yeah, but we all knew Jerry McCoy was going to make the team. Like,
when they had their ones out there, man, he looked really good. I mean, because the Niners played their ones, so. Yeah. And he looked, he had a lot of bursts off the ball. I was like, oh, wow, okay.
What was interesting to me is I thought that I saw him playing. So a couple of instant reactions if we wanted to do that. Yeah. It sounded like, or I felt like I was seeing a lot of Jerry McCoy playing, like, nose guard, like one technique, which he's, like, generally been a three technique in his career. So I thought that's interesting.
I saw that too.
So we'll see how that shakes out. That's... You know, we'll find out. I mean, if they're talking about, like, a nickel pass rush front, that it makes sense that Jerome McCoy would be playing one technique, and then guys like Solomon Thomas and Cleveland Ferrell, like the lighter guys, can, you know, kind of play that three technique as pass rushers. But then I bet Jerome McCoy can play either, like, whatever. Put him at five technique, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, I noticed the Raiders were playing tons of cover one man coverage down the field. So not sure why that was. Maybe I'll be able to figure it out from watching the film, like, with the point of that, but tons of cover one, outside leverage, corners, man free, you know, post safety in the middle of the field. They're like that. I was seeing a lot of that on the TV copy. So I don't know why that was, but definitely a departure from the norm.
Okay. Yeah. I thought, you know, the defense, I mean, of course they got ran over, but I mean, they played the ones. I mean, the Niners, they put their ones out there. Like,
yes,
like, Sanu was playing, and Samuel, and, you know, and then on the defense,
it
was,
yeah, I mean, Jimmy G, like, they got their starting offensive line out there, like, everything. Like,
yeah,
it was their ones. Raheem Mostert he's a starter for them. Like, you know, like, so it was there once,
because sure. The flip side on offense, you know, we'll flip the offense real quick. Because the flip side off is the offense, when they had their start, the Batters had their starters, they couldn't move the ball at all. It was pretty funny. Like, they couldn't, like, yeah, of course, Fred Warner's everywhere. I swear, like, every tackle he was like around it, like, it was somewhere. Like, he ended up in the picture somehow. It was crazy. Like, it didn't matter, like, where the play went. Like, when the play ended, you saw Fred, what you see 54 around it,
right?
It's just crazy. So, you know, they had all their starters out there. So, and then I don't even, like, John Simpson didn't even play. Like, I was trying to find John Simpson. He didn't even play. Like, so he didn't play. So on offense, it was really a lot of, you know, a lot of the backups. You know, John Brown played, which was interesting. That was interesting seeing John Brown play and Willie Snead not playing. That was super interesting. So, especially with Zay Jones not playing either. That was very interesting to kind of say. That kind of made a statement right there that Zay Jones made this team, right? And John Brown, sure, maybe is like on the fringe, right? So it was interesting with that, but like the offense, it was basically the threes all game. It wasn't no twos in there either. I mean, besides John Brown.
John Brown's like the only potential two.
Yeah.
Because Willie Snead didn't jump in at all at any point. Was Alec Ingold, and it was just the other guy, Groshek.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's it.
That's those it, threes. Man. It was nothing. And they couldn't do anything early on because, I mean, you got their backup offensive line in there. They are not messing with any. Javon Kinlaw is going to destroy Lester Cotton. You know what I mean? That's like him in the SEC going against like FAU or something. He feels like he's going against Lester Cotton. So it was nothing really there to even watch on offense, to be honest. Like, as soon as I saw the first team go up against 13, I was like, man, this is gonna be embarrassing. This is gonna be like 34-10. This is not even close, right? Because you know, and I think Gruden felt that way too. That's why he ran the ball on the first series like three times. So I felt like the offense just came there just to show up, and if something happened, it was fine. And they really wanted to see what the defensive players that they have on the fringe look like. I felt like they played more defensive guys that actually will play, you know, or have a chance to play in the season. Like an offense that besides John Brown. I mean, John Brown did play, so he was a guy out there that might play in the season. If they keep Trey Regis, even though he really didn't have the best game today, either did Emmons. I mean, who knows? I'll go back and watch the tape, but that's just off initial, you know, watch. And since those guys didn't really stand out, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who actually makes this team from who actually played. Because I don't know who's going to make this team from any of these guys. Dylan Stoner had a good game. He kind of had a better game than he had against the Rams. You know, he made some good catches, had a couple deep balls.
Who was that tight end?
Which one?
The scoring drive.
Matt Bushman.
He looked not bad.
Yeah, I mean, Bushman was good. I mean, Zach Wilson leaned on him at BYU, so he was good at BYU. They just been throwing the ball more to Alex Ellis. They haven't really been throwing the ball to him. Matt Bushman's been just pure blocking.
Bushman's 86, right?
No, Alex Ellis is 81.
Okay.
Yeah, Alex Ellis is 81. But Bushman, yeah, he has some ability, man. He does. But I don't think he's not unless they keep four tight ends. They did last year, so it's not crazy. But I mean, that was more a Jason Witten effect than anything else, because you got to keep Derek Carrier, because Carrier plays special teams, so you have to keep him.
You have to keep him,
right? Do they keep one of those other guys and to block? I don't know about that. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with some of the guys that played, because it literally was the third string guys. Literally. That's all. I mean, when John Simpson didn't play, I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And this is not anything.
Oh, Bushman is a BYU.
Yeah.
He did like a mission, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. He did missions.
Right. So like probably took like a couple, like at least a year off. Mm-hmm. He's entering the NFL. He's 25, 26 years old already. So that's why he's a full grown man.
I know. Full grown man.
No, he's not making the team. No,
yeah, whatever. I don't think he's gonna make the team.
But he looked good though. He looked good. Yeah. He looked viable. Hopefully he sticks around practice squad.
Yeah, I think
he's a big target.
Practice squad guy.
Yeah.
I think he is. So is Alex Ellis, because Alex Ellis hasn't looked bad either. So I think those are both practice squad guys. The same way with like Stoner and DJ Turner. I think Stoner and DJ Turner both make the practice squad because I thought DJ Turner, who knows?
Whoa, that's four guys. They're all receivers on practice squad, man. Come on. The defense has
some practice squad guys. There's 12 practice
squads. 12? We got 12? Okay, all right.
They got 65 players. There's 12 spots. Relax, bro. There's 12 spots. What is it for? There's still eight left. You know what I mean? But I still think DJ Turner and I think Dylan Stoner try to find a way onto the practice squad. And you know, DJ Turner is still my kind of special, you know, guy to make the 53 because he can return kicks.
Did you see anything from him today?
Like returning kicks or
no, from Turner at all?
Nothing.
I didn't notice him.
He's more a guy like when I watch him on tape, it's a lot different than when I see him in the game because I think he understands, he runs routes pretty good. That's why I think that over Stoner, I think Stoner is just a name. Like he had 200 catches at Oklahoma State. Everybody knows him. So he's like the main guy. It's like Darius Stills. You know, everybody know who Darius Stills was at West Virginia. So automatically he's undrafted free agent. He's going to make the team because I know who he is. You know what I mean?
Because you know his name. Yeah.
You know his name, right? And I think DJ Turner has a little bit, I think he runs better routes. And I think he has the kickoff return element to him that he could sneak on this team and everybody be like, wow, how did he make it over Stoner? And it's because they don't have a kick returner right now. Unless they put Kenyon Drake back there, which I don't, if John Gruden's not playing in the preseason, is he really going to put him back to the return kicks? I don't know. So I think they might put, you know, DJ Turner is a sneaky guy to make the 53 just because
he's returning kicks, bro.
I know, but come on, Gruden didn't play any of these guys. You know, people got mad at me because I said that tweet about J.K. Dobbins, but you know, he didn't play any of these dudes. So he
didn't play anyone.
Nobody,
not even close.
Not even close.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So people, I noticed some people on social media. I'm not sure why. It's a preseason game, doesn't count.
Yeah,
okay, so who cares? A little upset that the Raiders didn't get the ones in. So yeah. Like the Raiders, if you look at the final score, like why would you even care? What was it? 34-10 or something like that, 10, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. 34-10. The Raiders they traveled to San Francisco with essentially their third string only and a couple second string guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And they played the entire game with those guys. There was no like units like, okay, we're going to have the first team go out, then the second team go out, then third. It was all the third team the entire game. Okay. Yeah. Malcolm Kuntz and Jerry Green at defensive end, Devon Diablo, Max Richardson, an inside linebacker, right?
Yeah.
Like Amik Robertson played almost the entire game. You know, like Isaiah Johnson played a bit, huge chunk of the game. So like this was their strategy is like they were just traveling with the all the backups and they were going to see who's going to make this team. From these backups,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like you're saying, like literally, like Jimmy Garoppolo, their franchise quarterback, Trey Lance, their next franchise quarterback, their best running back, their best wide receiver, Deebo Samuel, Fred Warner. Their offensive line, Fred Warner, Javon Kinlaw. Like,
they all played.
So, okay, yeah, their first string is better than the Raiders' third string. Like, duh. Okay, yeah. Of course they won.
Yeah.
They play their starters like multiple series. So mm-hmm. So what would be the point besides not the obvious, besides like not having key starters get injured, what's the point of having only your third string go play?
See, I think this is just a new trend that's gonna start happening. I think in 2 years from now, you're not gonna see any starters in preseason. I think you go into like the 2023 NFL season, you're not going to see any starters playing because, yeah, all the anti-Carr guys, that's who it really is. Really, people who are crying about preseason are people who don't like Carr because they want to see. I don't know what they want to see. But
Mahomes is playing, so let me go. Why is Mahomes playing if Carr can't play?
You know what I mean? Like that's really the real thing. But we'll just talk about it. Just to talk about it. But I think a lot of it is. You just don't play your starters in the preseason anymore. You know, Sean McVay doesn't. Brandon Staley didn't play Justin Herbert or any of his starters at all. They didn't play at all.
Chargers. It did like multiple joint practices, right?
Yeah, they did multiple joint practices.
Same with the Rams. Like a lot of these teams that do, like, if you're doing the joint practices,
yeah,
that's probably like even better than preseason, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So unless you got a Rams friggin' beat reporter like showing all your new stuff to social media, I told him to delete that. He didn't even see it probably. anyway, so yeah, like if you see the teams that are doing joint practices are probably not playing their starters.
Nope.
In the preseason, the teams that are not doing joint practices, yeah, like that's just how they're getting it going, right? Mm-hmm. So. I mean, that's just all it comes down to.
My thing, though, with preseason, like, Patrick Mahomes goes out there, but what is Patrick Mahomes getting ready for if he goes out there? You know, the All-22 to me, maybe if I didn't have All-22 and I wasn't watching All-22 that we found, you know, whatever, I would have a different look at preseason. But, BD, you know, like, when you watch the preseason All-22, like, what is Patrick Mahomes really getting ready for? Like, if he goes out there, like, is he just getting ready to play, or like, is he just like getting his body ready? Because they're not doing anything that's going to like give him some type of, you know, special look or anything, you know, like there's nothing crazy. It's like when they play the Ravens. I mean, there's nobody doing the Ravens blitzes, you know, there's nobody doing the Ravens coverages and their blitz coverages, you know? So there's nothing really like even like Derek Carr, even if he got in sync or came out there and got in sync with Darren Waller, whatever people are saying, like he's not going to be, they're not going to be ready for those blitz coverages and reading those coverages. So yeah. I'm an anti-preseason guy.
I know you're anti-preseason. There's, you know, I know you play.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
There's nothing like that first time you get your belt wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like you got to get hit, stepped on, all this stuff, and be like, okay, like this is part of the game. You're gonna get a little, you know, dinged up, and you know, you gotta play. You gotta keep on going. You gotta get your mind right, you know. So there has to be. I think that it's not. You gotta really condition your body for contact.
Yeah.
Okay. We had a running back in college. I went to Stony Brook. He was a sophomore. He was a baller. Okay.
Yeah.
Rutgers was trying to steal him from us. Okay. Mm-hmm. He went nuts. He had like 1400 yards. He was like 5'11", 220. We thought he was going straight to the league. Okay.
Yeah.
And after that, the coach never let anyone hit him in practice. Okay. He was like, don't hit our star player. Mm-hmm. So like, and one time someone did run into him and he got like thrown out of practice. Like, do not hit our star player. The guy never stayed healthy. He wasn't ready. The first time he got hit hard was a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So yeah. He always got hurt. He always got hurt after that. So like that like you got to get your body ready. You got to get smacked around to play football. And so like that's why I think the preseason is for just like a series, just one series. Okay. Get pushed down on the ground as a quarterback. So your mind is, so your mental is ready. That's just my opinion.
I see that opinion. I feel that. I do feel it. I just think, you know, college, they don't do a preseason, and Alabama goes out and looks great. So
Alabama plays D1AA the first game of the season. Get out of here. They're playing Towson. Of course they look great.
Michigan. Sometimes they play Michigan or USC.
Or USC. USC's got to come all the way across the country. Okay. Of course they
Georgia Dome.
I don't believe in any of that. Alabama, man.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you have a point.
Go ahead. No, I'm just kidding. But like, the contact though in these, like the NFL, the rules about like how much contact that you can have in camp, like it used to be they go to training camp, it's like 2-a-days, you know. Yeah. Like they're going hard in training camp. Now it's like the players union is like, no, there's like a set amount of like live hitting drills that can happen and a certain amount of minutes per day, and there's like a union rep there like keeping track of everything that the coaches are doing and saying and everything like that. College, like they're smacking each other the entire time.
That's true.
You know, like
they're hitting each other. But I will say the joint practice, though, I mean, they were hitting pretty hard. I mean, like Jalen Ramsey, you know, he hit like Josh Jacobs, knocked his helmet off. So,
right.
I think the quarterback is where it, you know, it depends on him getting hit, but you also don't want your quarterback to get hit in the preseason either. So it's, that's a dynamic, right? And I don't know. I mean, he 2 years ago, I mean, Carr played one series. Remember that? He played one series and never played again. He didn't even play in the dress rehearsal. So, I mean, this is obviously Gruden's philosophy. It ain't going to change. I just don't disagree with it that much because I don't think they're going to come out of sync. Maybe injuries. Okay, injuries. Okay, I can see that. But I don't think they're going to come out of sync. Like, to their point, they're not going to be able to, like, complete passes and things like that. They're going to be fine that way because, you know, him and Waller are still – it's the same offense. It's not changing that much. You know what I mean? So I think that, like, in that area, I think it's fine, yeah. But we'll see, bro. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everybody gets hurt and I'm an idiot. Who knows?
No, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. It's not that serious. And I think it is serious for the guys who are fighting for a roster spot. Like, yeah, that's what preseason is serious for, right?
Yeah. I mean, Derek Carr, you know, basic cover one coverage. What is he going to learn? What is he? That's my thing. Okay. Like, what is he going to get better at?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mahomes, you know, going out there and tossing the ball around for fun, you know, sure. Of course, it's going to look great against some twos. Like, the Vikings played their twos and he's out there killing them. Hell yeah. But, you know, I don't know. People are weird. I don't know. People are weird. But I swear, I bet if the starters did play and then, like, Josh Jacobs got hurt like J.K. Dobbins, they would freak out. That's why I said that. They would have freaked out. So.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, whatever. Anyways.
Yeah, of course. All right, so we're going to cut it off right there because we got more stuff for you.
Yeah.
Okay, later on this week,
uh-huh.
We might have a bonus episode for you if Marcus and I can coordinate our schedules this week. Mm-hmm. So no promises there, but, you know, stay on the lookout. We're gonna try to put together a bunch of stuff for you in these coming weeks. Make sure you check out Manscaped. Okay, support for this episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Mm-hmm. Who's the best in men's below the waist grooming? Manscaped. It offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Yeah, anyways, TDL at manscaped.com. You get 20% off.
Uh-huh.
Go for it. Go for it.
Go for it, guys.
That's it. Make sure you get yourself a shirt. We'll put links in the description if you're watching this on YouTube. Anything else, Marcus, before we get out of here?
No, man. We're good, bro. We're good.
Follow Marcus at the Mark John NFL. Follow myself at BD Williams 18. This is the Tape Don't Lie Raiders Film Channel podcast. We out.
We out.